ever. Amen. Amen. So let's just bow our heads just for a quick minute. So, Lord, we thank you and we bless you. We love you. Thank you, Lord, for just what you've already done in the midst of this service, Lord, speaking during worship and during the prayer and touching our hearts, softening our hearts, Lord, and giving us clarity in the midst of confusion, letting us know it's going to be all right, not to worry, not to stress, God, but just to rest in you and just kind of trust you, Lord. It's no way around trusting you, Lord, as we continue on this journey, as we walk by faith and not by sight. It's just no way around trusting you. We have to trust in you. It's a trust relationship. So we thank you, Lord, that you've always been faithful. Now we ask that you would speak to us through your word. Make it plain, Lord. Thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It illuminates the way, Lord, as we try our best to navigate through this dark, fallen, broken, dying, decaying world. What's wrong with the world is dark, dying, broken, and decaying. That's what's wrong with it, God. But your word is a blueprint. It's the roadmap to show us how to live as we go through, Lord. We're just passing through, Lord, and we thank you for that. Speak to our hearts now. Show us how to live, so we can have a victorious Christian life and experience the life and that more abundantly that you have for us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So as we're going through 1 Corinthians 10 and 1, so this is review for some, and those of you who haven't heard it, we're going through the wilderness. Two things. So make a note already that the world is a wilderness. This world that we're in today is the wilderness. They were in a physical wilderness. We are in a physical and spiritual wilderness as well. So they were trying to navigate through. They got distracted. And a trip that should have taken them 11 days, it took them 40 years because of five things. We've gone over the first thing, which was lusting after evil things. They were in the wilderness and got caught up, became evil and just lost their minds, and they start getting involved in idolatry. They start worshiping golden calves instead of worshiping God. They had their focus on Moses and their situation. And the first sign of trouble, they went right back to what they had known, which was false idols, which they were taught in Egypt. Then last week we touched on the other thing they were doing in the wilderness, which was fornication, physical and spiritual. Spiritual fornication is getting mixed up in the world. Physical is sleeping with somebody you're not married to. And they were doing it. What are you doing in the wilderness for 40 years? You sleep around and get distracted and die in your dysfunction. That's what was happening. So I start off with some read this, Sister Kathy. I can't even get into the word before I got to read something. Read it. All right. We have determined that the world is a wilderness, and while we are in the wilderness, we have to determine if we're going to choose. Here's your options: dysfunction, our destiny; foolishness, our future; pleasure, our purpose; confusion, our clarity; judgment, our Jesus; comfort, or Christ. Jerry said, bring it. Okay, Jerry, I got to bring it then, Jerry. Some of us are no closer to God than we were 11 months ago, because we are choosing and allowing Satan to distract us in the wilderness to the point that we think dysfunction is normal. It's getting ready to be 2019, another year of wandering in the wilderness for some. You see how easy it is for the children of Israel to spend 40 years in the wilderness. We got 1 year under our belt. And it adds up real fast. Some of us, or someone we know, let me clarify that, someone we know, has spent the entire year of 2018 wandering around in dysfunction. God forgive us for our disobedience and give us the strength to stop wandering and start obeying. So we are in the midst of, continue to read this. I'm trying to get to the word. God said, read this. We are in the midst of discussing the five things that kept the children of Israel from God's purpose in the wilderness until they died. Hear what I'm saying. It's not about what you're doing. It's more about the purpose, the plan, and the promise that God has for your life that you will never accomplish or obtain if you continue to be distracted in the wilderness. Here's the bottom line. You and I have to want God and God's purpose and promise for our life more than we want the pleasures of this world. It says, it's my biggest fear. All right. I think I've shared this before. My biggest fear as a man, not even as a pastor, just as a man. Okay, let's be real. We all have fears, okay? Don't act like you don't have some fears, all right? Don't look at me like that. You're the pastor. You shouldn't be afraid of nothing. Trust me. My biggest fear is that I get to the end of my life and I'm left wondering what God could have done with my life, if I really would have trusted in God with all of my heart, my mind, and my life, and really given God 100% of every aspect of my life. That I'm lying on my deathbed saying, man, what if I really would have gave God, what could my life could have been? This is how personal our relationship with Christ is. And only you know if you're really giving Christ 100%. Only you know. That's between you and God. Only I know if I'm giving God 100%. Regardless of what it looks like, only you know in your heart of heart. And then just the sad commentary that we get to the end of life and we realize, man, I could have gave God so much more. And what could God have done? Oh, okay, I'm going to keep going. All right, let me keep going. Stop allowing Satan to lie to you. God is not trying to prevent you from having fun. Everything God says to us is motivated from the position of love. Everything Satan tells you is motivated from the seed of hate, deception, and destruction. Don't get them confused. The alcohol, the drugs, the lies. You can have it your way. Do your own thing. You aren't hurting anybody. Not hurting anybody. So you're nobody because you're hurting yourself. And God is nobody? Really? So then think about this. How much more could my marriage have been blessed if I would have gave God 100%? How much more my relationship with my kids could have been blessed? This is me talking to myself. How much more my relationship with my siblings could have been blessed? My job, my ministry, my business, my relationships at church. If I really would have gave God 100% and got dialed into God. How much more could I have experienced the abundant life that Christ promised me in every aspect of my life if I really would have committed everything to Christ and not gotten distracted in the dysfunction in the wilderness? So that's me talking to myself. Thought I would share that with you all. So here's 1 Corinthians. Let's get to the word now. Let's just go right to 1 Corinthians 10 and 8. It says, neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. So then it took us to Numbers 25. Who's with me today, Jail? Let's go to Numbers 25 and 1. So remember, the first thing they were doing, they were lusting after evil things and they started building golden calves. And now they're sleeping around in the wilderness. And family, remember, this is a sad thing. They've forgotten that God has a land flowing with milk and honey for them. And we see how easy it is. God's promised us the life and that more abundantly. But the world is always trying to distract us so we die in dysfunction like they did. We're sounding the alarm because it was 2.5 million of them. And out of those 2.5 million, only two made it. That's alarming. I don't know. Ooh, that lets you know right now. Make a note for those of you taking notes. Not everybody going to make it. That's why our job is so critical. Is we're out making disciples and sharing the gospel. You don't have to save anyone, but you plant and you water. God does the saving. Amen. All right, so here we go. Let's say Numbers 25 and 1. If you there, say amen. And they abode in Chittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. Make a note, they chose to stay there. Instead of moving to through the wilderness, they said, we're going to hang out. Where we say last week, where is it? Long Beach Boulevard, Figueroa, PCH, and we're going to commit whoredom with the prostitutes. It's kind of attractive. Amen. Hey, you pass by, you look, you see, man, I think I'm going to just make a turn around and just hang out. Men keep going. These are the people of God, and they chose. They should have kept moving, but they stayed there. So I've made a note. If you stay in the wrong place long enough, you will begin to act like those you're with. Make a note. If you stay in the wrong place long enough, you'll begin to act like those you are with. Try not to get ahead of myself here. They forgot all about the promise and purpose God had for them and the land flowing with milk and honey. Verse 2, and they called unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bow down to their gods. So first they're sleeping with them, now they're committing adultery, fornication, and idolatry. And then worshiping the false gods. So we said it last week. Does it say read it again? No, it says read this again. Okay. Sexual sins lead to idol worship. You begin to worship the act and the person you begin, and the person, and you begin to do what they say and not what God says. Oh, really? And then we said we call it being turned out. Or being whipped. And then you start asking questions like, why is she with that dude? Why is he with her? Why is she doing that? I mean, she would have never did that. What, she moved in? So God is saying, you got to go from shacking up to packing up. Ladies and gentlemen, you know what someone is about even before you connect with them. You can tell by their conversation what they're wearing or what they are not wearing, what they drink or what they don't drink. There are no surprises. Just like the children of Israel, we choose desire and dysfunction over purpose and promise. Let me say it again. Just like the children of Israel, we choose desires and dysfunction over purpose and promise. Then we say she wasn't raised like that. He wasn't raised like that. Talk about the intoxication of sexual sins. Doesn't discriminate based on age, gender, socioeconomic status. It affects everyone from the president to a pauper. You will appear to lose your mind. Folks, what is wrong with them? You would do things you never thought you would do because you've allowed yourself to be influenced by sex and not the Holy Spirit. Oh, my God. I wrote it. I just got to read it. And you know what? Look at this. I said you will lie, steal, cheat, and then sin makes you stupid. It does. Oh, Pastor, what you say? Okay. What I write. It's 2 a.m. in the morning, and you going to somebody's house in the rain with your tank on E. With your saved self. But I got to get there. It'll make you stupid. You all know. And we just can't set ourselves up. We talked about it last week. Our young folks, I'm just going to watch Netflix and chill. It might start like that. And so then, all right, so here we go, family. And if you don't believe me, you can ask Adam. You can ask Abraham. You can ask Samson, David, and Solomon. Matter of fact, little mama, let's go to 1 Kings 11 and 1. 1 Kings 11 and 1. Oh, somebody say amen. Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived. Samson, one of the strongest men that ever lived. They all got caught up. All right, so let me say this because I wrote it. All right? Let me read. Are we at 11:1 first?
Yes.
Okay, make a note. God had appeared to Solomon twice. I mean, like physically appeared to Solomon. The first time he asked him, what do you want me to give you? And he asked for wisdom and knowledge. Then he appeared to him again. So it's no question that Solomon knew that God was real. But here's a point, ladies, I want you to write this down. Ladies, your influence is stronger than the strength of a man. Let me say it again. I'm going to back it up with scripture in just a minute. Ladies, your influence over a man is stronger than the strength of a man. So let me, and men, you don't agree with me. I'm going to take you to the word in just a minute. And so then I wrote it. Ladies, this has to be your takeaway. Use your influence to complement and complete your man and not to compete with your guy. Use your influence to complete your guy and not compete with your God. Please don't take your man or any man. Please don't put your man or any man in a position to choose between sin with you and sanctification with God. I think I'd read that again. Ladies, please don't put your man or any man in a position to choose between sin with you or sanctification with God. And men, we have to take full responsibility as well. You're not off the hook. Men, we can't set ourselves up. Oh, I can handle it. Just gonna stop by real quick. It's not going to happen like that. All right, so let me keep your finger on 1 Kings. Let's go to Proverbs 7 so I can put the word on what I'm saying so you don't think Pastor's just up here rambling off and picking on men and women this morning. Proverbs 7 and 21. If you're there, say amen. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattery of her lips, she forced him. Amen, I know. Just by talking to him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox go to the slaughter or food to the correction of the stocks. Till a dart strike through his liver as a bird hastened to the snare, but he doesn't know that it's for his life. Listen unto me now, therefore, and children, attend to the words of my mouth. Don't let your heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths. For here's, make a note of this, 26. For she has cast down many wounded. Yeah, many strong men. Not just little guys on the side and little punks, but many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is a way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. And that's this woman, that's not all women. Somebody say amen. Man, we just can't say, well, I'm good. I'm going to just go by just for a minute. I know I just got to drop something off. It says, don't even go near her house. Don't go near. Many strong men. Another section of Proverbs, it says that a woman will reduce a man to a piece of bread. Probably a piece of soggy bread, too. That just falls apart. Man, you ain't going to even be a real piece of bread. You're going to be all soggy and jacked up. Let's go back to 1 Kings 11. So hear what I'm saying. We're in the wilderness. The five things that prevented them are the same five things that prevent us. I'm trying to figure out how much time I'm going to stay here, because it's, am I going to go through Solomon? Am I going to go through David? Are we going to talk about Samson? And then we talk about the victorious one, Joseph, who had to run and then got lied on and got put in jail. And that's what his dream started to look like. But God. But all I'm saying, family, it's all around us. We have to use extreme wisdom to not get caught up. We're just trying to watch the football game, and they show everything, and they want you to get a Corona and get your lime and all this other kind of stuff. You can't even watch a game without it being all around you. Then your team lose, you're really upset. I got to look at this stuff and my team lose? Come on. Are you at 1 Kings 11 and 1? So King Solomon wrote the Proverbs. He wrote Ecclesiastes. He's telling us about wisdom. He's speaking from experience. And God told him to leave those women alone. They're going to turn you out, King Solomon. And you know when it starts off with a verse starts off with but, you know you're in trouble. Unless it says but God, all right? But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites and Ammonites, Edomites, Zedonians and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon, he held on to them firmly. He glued himself to them in love. My goodness. God is specific. God is clear. God told them, no, don't do it. God told King Solomon, no, don't do it. Then we get to verse 3. This is almost ridiculous. He had 700 wives, princes, 300 concubines, and his wives turned his heart. You think? Married men, you got to raise your hand. But anyway, what you say, don't do it, sister. But I'm just saying that it's hard enough just to focus on one wife. You know what I'm saying? How are you going to have 700? I mean, I don't know. This doesn't make much sense to me. Sometimes the scriptures don't make sense, right? I mean, just think of seven. Anyway, but I mean, that's nasty. But anyway. But if you flip the coin, what if it's saying a woman had 700 husbands? You're like, are you kidding me? What is it? 300 side pieces? Are you kidding me? What is wrong with her? There's no way you can try and make this look like it's cool. You just can't do that, whether it's a male or it's just not cool. But God told them they're going to turn your heart away. Don't, Solomon, don't. Man, so, I don't know, because this even gets into this whole doctrine of you can lose your salvation. Which I don't know the answer to that, and I'm not going to try and pretend I'm a scholar on losing your salvation. But I'm saying this. The children of Israel, they died in the wilderness, millions of them. Solomon started off good, and then he got turned completely out. And they turned his heart away from God. Let's read verse 4. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned his heart away after other gods, and his heart was not perfect, which means his heart was not loyal with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. Verse 5, for Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Verse 7, then did Solomon build in a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise he did for all his strange wives, which burned incense and sacrificed unto their gods. I don't know. You can't say who made it and who didn't. The miracle is if we make it to heaven, somebody say amen. But all I'm telling you is you can get distracted if you want to and hope and pray and or just think that it's going to happen. But I'm saying you have to serve God on purpose and not on accident. And regardless if Solomon made it to heaven or not, his life on earth was not all it could be because he got distracted. And you and I, our life will not be all that it could be if we allow ourselves to get distracted. And when you do the research, when you talk about the reality of Scripture, we have the archaeologists. They found the skeletal remains of infants at the three sites where the brutal human sacrifice was made. They involved child sacrifices, sacrificing children. They found the skeletal remains at these sites in Jerusalem. God was very clear. Let's go to Deuteronomy 7, 16 and 20, and we'll finish here, and then we'll pick up the rest next week. But let's take a look at Deuteronomy 17. God was very clear. Family, God is always clear. We look for the loopholes, but God is very clear. And I'm telling you, family, it's no way around knowing the word. You got to, for us, I've challenged this for, it's been almost 3.5 years, every morning get up and read your Proverbs and then whatever else you God has you to read. Before you have your first meal, use that as praying and fasting time. We're not going to call a 21-day fast. I'm asking for a 365-day fast every morning before you eat. Reading the word, worshiping, praying. And the men we've been talking in our group to beg for the wisdom of God, because they say nothing can be desired more than wisdom. So if we get wisdom, we have everything, because wisdom's been around since God created everything. Amen. So we should be getting up every morning, praying, fasting, studying, begging for wisdom, begging for the favor of God, getting into the word of God. Family, you have to. Because you got to know your word, because people can talk the word. But if you don't know your word, you can't search to see if those things are true or not. Pastor, what are you talking about? All right. I study speakers because I speak. I study pastors because I'm a pastor. We're at a wedding yesterday. The pastor was up and he was doing the wedding ceremony. And I'm listening to the scriptures, or the lack thereof, that he uses to do the ceremony. I was already had my antennas up because I'd heard about this church in Long Beach where everything is accepted. And so he went to Corinthians 13 and talked about love. So I have no problem with one of the best. If you don't know how to love, go to Corinthians 13. He did not go to Genesis and talk about how God created male and female. He didn't talk about how God created the woman from the side of the man, from his rib, because he couldn't, because he would have offended himself and his members, because the church is a little different. And I'm sitting there because I know the word. did not touch it. And I knew why I didn't touch it. Because I know the word. And you can sit there, and if you don't know the word, if you don't know what marriage is about, how God created male and female, then you could be caught up in all this love stuff and miss what God is saying. And miss what's not being said. Family, you got to know your word. It is. That's all I can tell you. I'm going to be nice this morning. Okay? That's all I'm going to say. I'm going to be nice. Family, you better know your word. Because everybody's not preaching the totality of the word. And I wasn't upset with the members who were doing, because sheep going to do what sheep do. Sheep going to do. But when you are the shepherd and you're not breaking down the word, I got a problem with. That's the only thing I had a problem with. So y'all can come here and y'all cannot like me, but y'all can't say because pastor was holding back on the word or pastor wasn't breaking down the word. I'm going to give you the word. You might not like it, but I'm going to give it to you. The sheep going to do what they're going to do. And that's okay. Y'all, you know, what did Pastor Dr. West say? The sheep, the shepherd got to sleep at the sheep gate. So nothing gets in and nothing gets out. Because the sheep will wander right out with the wolf. The sheep will wander right out with the wolf. Like, ooh, okay, let's go. And just go and get ate up. Because that's what sheep do. But when a shepherd is not giving the sheep what they need so they can grow and live victoriously, then that's a problem. Family, I'm telling you, get into your word and stay into your word. So where are we at? I said we're going to finish it. Deuteronomy 17 and 16. All right. 17 and 16. All right. So let me give you just some instructions as we leave, right? This is Moses giving a law. Solomon knew the word. He knew the law. So he knew this. This is the laws for the king. This is the way the king should conduct himself. He should not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt. And we know that Solomon had horses imported from Egypt. Problem number one. You can start with a little bit, and then it turns into a lot. Solomon should have never done that. Let me read it again. But he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses, for as much as the Lord has said unto him, ye shall henceforth return no more that way. Stay away from Egypt. Stop going certain places you don't need to go. You're going to get caught up is what God is saying. And you're going to get back. It's going to look familiar. And the next thing you know, you're into something you shouldn't be into. God is saying, don't go. Certain people we need to cut off because they're not good for my Christian walk. Certain places are not good for my Christian walk or witness. So God is saying, don't go there. Look at what he says in verse 17. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself. God told us this back in Deuteronomy. It wasn't anything new. Solomon's the king. This is laws administration of the king. You should know this. You're the king. You do know this, but you do your own thing. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself that his heart turn not away. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. Don't be greedy. Don't get caught up with women and get away from the stuff you once were in. Write that down. You write that down. These are instructions. Don't be greedy. Don't get caught up with women. Women, don't get caught up with men. And then don't go back to the stuff that God delivered you from. Stay away from the people that are a bad influence. Verse 18. It shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom. Look at what God is telling us. When you sit in your house, that you shall write a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priest of the Levites. God is saying, keep a journal of my word. Any area that you're struggling with, write down scriptures that give you strength and keep that journal. And I'm going to say, take it a step further and memorize it. And then let it get into your heart, because you're not going to have time to open up In the journal, you at the job, somebody say something to you, and okay, what do I do? What do I do? You better memorize that. Brother Jerry, BJ, we at the gym working out and something walk in. What did God say about that? What did God say? You ain't got time. You better memorize it. Jerry, you're not going to have time to go to your journal in a heated situation. Got to memorize the scriptures that give you the strength that you, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Whatsoever things are pure and lovely and of a good report, and think on these things. I got to get my, okay, I was going well. I got to think on things that are honest and just and true and pure. Don't go near the door of her house. Got to have those memorized and internalized in my heart. So when I'm out and about, you don't get caught up. This is what he's telling Solomon. Verse 18 again, should be when he sit upon the throne of his kingdom that he should write a copy of this law. Every king had to write this down so they wouldn't get caught up. Man, we got to write stuff down so we don't get caught up. Man, you're the king and the priest of your house. Man, it's on us. We can't let our families, our wives, our kids, we can't let them get caught up. Verse 19. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life. Man, this word, every day of our life. That's why you memorize it. You write it and you memorize it, because it has to be with you. It has to be a part of you. It has to become a part of your lifestyle. See, God teaches us how to live. We just don't want to listen. It's all right here. That's why I say most people don't read the Bible because of what they don't know. They don't read it because of what they know. They don't want to hear stuff like this. They want to hear stuff like this, and you think about it. Yeah, we have the fires and all the other stuff going on, and people rescuing people, considered a hero. You have Jesus saved the world. That's him calling right now. That's him calling right now. Sister Kathy, boy, we're going to talk after service. Jesus saves the world. People don't want to have anything to do with him. How can you save somebody from a burning building? And you're a hero. You saved them. Jesus saves the world because of stuff like this. Because Jesus says the way you got it, that's why they were offended with him. Because when he told them, you got to leave your mother, your father, you got to love them less than you love me. People said, I can't deal with that. And he feeds, he heals, he delivers, he set free, raised the dead, and then they kill him. Saves the world. People don't want to have anything to do with him because of stuff like this. Because people want to say, don't tell me how to live. Well, that was loud. People want to say, I want to do my own thing. Don't tell me how to live. Jesus, you can heal, you can deliver all day. You can set free, raise the dead, but don't tell me how to live. I'm offended that you would tell me how to live. I'm going to say this, then we'll read, and then we'll get out of here. Family, God created us, we didn't create God. We don't make the rules. Be careful who you're listening to. You let somebody tell you how to live, but God sets the rules. It's just like this. Next time, I want you to, yeah, another homework assignment if you choose to accept it, all right? Get on the freeway and go 90. And then when the police pull you over, you tell them your pastor said it was okay. They're going to tell you your pastor don't make the rules. This is the law. Oh, who's he? What is he? He doesn't make the rules. He said I could go 90. So what? Here's your ticket. Get out of here. Yeah, give it to your pastor. Let him pay it. people try and tell you what God says, oh, well, he's my such and such said, well, they doing it. They don't make the rules. And when God calls you out, you're going to say, well, you know, my uncle, he was, and he said that it was, you know, this was, you know, and God says, so your uncle makes that dude. You listen, you were stupid enough to listen to that dude. He doesn't make the rules. Family, whether we agree with it or not, we don't make the rules. God makes them. He tells us how to live by them. And remember, it's not a list of do's and don'ts. This protects us from self-destructing. God's not out for us not to have a good time. God say, hey, you can have the best blessed time ever, but just like this. Because once you get outside the lines, and all athletes know, I mean, we get it in everything else. In sports, if you go out of bounds, you're out. It's a turnover. You can't play the game outside the line. You can't catch the ball and run all up by the stands and just score a touchdown like a touchdown. You can't do that. You're outside the lines. You can't say I'm going to hit a three-pointer and make a layup. No, it has to go behind the line. You can't run track and get in somebody else's lane and say, why am I disqualified? But then it comes to the word and God says, do this. I can do it. I can go outside the lines. It'll be all right. God, why is it we get it everywhere else except for with God's word where God is trying to protect us? All right, let me finish with verse 20 and then we're going to pray and get out of here. Verse 19, it shall be with him. He shall read there in all the days of his life. Come on, man, get that. That he may learn, oh my gosh, that he may learn to fear. And that word fear is not afraid. That fear means, write it down what that fear means so you understand when it says fear. It means to respect the awesomeness of God. When you get into the word, then you can respect the awesomeness of God. And then it's not hard, as it says, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them, be a doer and not just a hearer. And when you don't respect the awesomeness of God, then you don't care about his word. That's why it says a fool has said in his heart, there is no God, because he doesn't respect the awesomeness of God. But when you and I respect the awesomeness of God, then we go, wow, I got to tighten my game up. Here we go, verse 20. That is hard. Here you are, you're the king, the priest of your house, men. You understand God's word. Why? So your heart won't be lifted up. So you get rid of that pride and that ego and that arrogance. You don't tell your wife, this is the house. This is where I make the rules. You keep your mouth shut and you say, yes, dear. Because you understand the word and you know that you love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So your heart's not lifted up above his brother. You don't think you're all that. And he turned not aside from the commandment that you don't get away from God's prescription. Make a note, commandment in the Greek, Hebrew, prescription. God tells us the word is your medicine. Take it every day so you can live victoriously. We'll listen to a doctor before we listen to God. That's a shame. He will not turn from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong. Oh, my God. That you may prolong your days in your kingdom, in your house. Look at this. He and his children. So, men, when we line up with what God has for us, it blesses our house, it blesses our wife, it blesses our children. That's why God says we're going through the wilderness. Don't get caught up in this because it's going to turn your heart away. Everything's going to be messed up. The rest we got to pick up next week. Whew. Please come back for more. Just getting warmed up. So if you would, just bow your heads. Let's just pray. Then we'll dismiss. It won't be but a few minutes longer. Maybe someone's here and saying, Pastor, I've never committed my life, my heart and my life to Jesus Christ. Let's give him a chance. The word says, for God sent his son in the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved, rescued. Jesus is not out to get us. It's too easy. It's out to save us. So maybe you're here and say, Pastor, I don't know if I'm saved. But I want to know today. You don't have to leave here not knowing if you're saved, if you're rescued from death, hell, sin, and the grave. We all need something to cover our sins. You stand before God, you're going to be judged according to your sins, or you're going to be judged according to Christ on the cross. Thank you, Jesus, that we don't have to be judged according to our sins. If that's you and you don't know if you're saved, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you and with you. Maybe you're here and you want to rededicate your life. You're saying, Pastor, I'm so far in the wilderness, it looks like home to me. Yeah, we've all been there. Thank you, Lord, for shedding light that we don't have to die in our dysfunction. We don't have to lust after evil things, and we don't have to build idols and worship something more than you, and we don't have to sleep around and get distracted and never make it to the purpose and the promise that you have. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us all of our sins. Your word says the thought of foolishness is sin. God, we've all had foolish thoughts. Forgive us, God. We all need you. If you're here and you want to rededicate your life, you don't need to raise your hand. That's just between you and God. That's where it stays. Only you know if you're giving God 100%. Only you know if you need to get back to God. Only you know if you need to tighten your game up with God. And that's between you and God. God's not looking at the suit, the shirt, the hat. God's looking at the heart. God sees right through everything. So God, forgive us. Thank you for the challenge, Lord. Not to be business as usual. We know that the real challenge begins when we step outside of these doors and the world just pounces right back on us. But God, give us the strength to live and walk victoriously in you. We love you, Lord. We thank you that the word says there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ who walk after the spirit and not after the flesh. We're not condemned because of what's happened. God, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all equal. We're all even. It's no big sins and little sins. God, forgive us for all of them. Jesus died for all of them. It's no condemnation. We walk out of here victoriously because of what Christ did. That's why we need Jesus. Thank you that your word says that if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you that we're free in Christ. We're cleansed in Christ. Thank you for the abundant life you've promised us in all aspects of our life. And then maybe someone's here and say, Pastor, I've been coming. I want to join. I need a place where I can grow and develop into the man or the woman of God that God has called me to be. If that's you, elevate your hand if you want to join with us this morning. Lord, we love you because there's none like you, no name that's above your name. Lord, bless your people. Give us the desire and the strength to live this thing. Not to be hearers only, but to be doers. God, we need you. Let us send someone our way that we can minister to this week. Send someone to confirm everything that you've said and everything you're doing in our life. Bless your people. Bless their lives and their families. We thank you, Lord, that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand to your feet, give someone a hug, and you are dismissed.